Lou Manfredini joins us now. He's your Mr. Fix-It, and we ask him on Mondays to give us some projects to work on during the week. Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm well, John. How about you?
I'm good. Are you done reading all the text messages I sent you over the weekend about batteries?
I'm like, it never stops. I'm happy to answer any question that you would like.
Well, can we just start there, although this is about me, but it is something that you told us to do last week, so I was working on it, and that was, you know, when you set your clocks back or forward, you should check your batteries, right, Lou?
Right, correct.
In your smoke alarms. Although if you do the 10-year, then you don't have to do it every year. But then I had done some of them, they were 10-year batteries, and I looked and I thought, oh, I don't have to do this for 9 more years, because you told me to do that last year. Some of them, I didn't want to spend $1,000 on a battery, so I just put a 1-year battery in there. But here's the thing, Lou. I was thinking as I'm pulling these transistor batteries out of my smoke alarms throughout the house, they haven't done a thing all year. These are probably good batteries. Like, if you haven't had a smoke a fire, and I'm like, I thought I should save these batteries and put them in something else because I think they've done nothing but sit on my wall for a year. Why am I throwing away these good batteries?
Well, that's not 100% true. The battery is not just there to make the alarm go off. The sensor, the sensor that is actually reading the room for carbon monoxide or smoke, does take a little bit of energy. So it is using some of that energy that the battery offers, which is why we should be changing those twice a year.
Twice a year?
That's really what's recommended, twice a year. And that's why, quite frankly, I really recommend that you just go with the 10-year battery, just because the quality of the battery, it's larger and it's lithium ion. Typically, the 9 volts and the AAs are alkaline batteries, and they just don't have the kind of longevity that the lithium ion batteries have. I mean, we're very familiar with lithium ion. They're in power tools. It's what drives electric cars and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so then I did buy one of those. I bought the last one they had of the 10-year battery, and then I got some 1-year batteries, fine. One of those batteries, you know, they're all the names that you recognize, but one of them would be like $469. One was $548. On a 1-year battery, do you think there's any difference, Lou?
On a personal level, I really don't. I think that a lot of, whether it's a Rayovac or an Energizer or a Duracell, you know, the reality of it is, I think a lot of it is marketing. I think that for a lot of that stuff, if we're talking about a battery that you're going to use for a year, or, you know, we're getting ready to do Christmas decorations and a lot of that stuff is battery operated, I would buy a name brand, right? But I would buy the least expensive name brand.
Fair enough.
And I think you're good to go.
So I also had some batteries for the smoke alarms. This is the last question I'll have about my personal battery issue. I had some that we bought last year. Well, they haven't been doing anything but sitting in this nifty battery case I got Brenda for Christmas last year. So they've just been sitting there. And yes, she did want that. So those are still fresh batteries, even though they've been sitting there for a year. Right, Lou?
Most batteries, when you buy them, there will be a manufacture date on the package that you buy, or the batteries may have that on it as well. And usually they have a unused shelf life of 5 years. Now, would I take a 9-volt battery that's 5 years old, that's never been used, and put it in my smoke detector? No. Would I use it in a holiday decoration? Sure.
Yeah, right. And there's probably juice in there. But that's very interesting because my batteries and packages did have dates on them. And some of them were 23 or 24. And I thought, I didn't know what that meant. But I, in theory, could add 5 years to that, Lou?
Yeah. I mean, when you So if I put my retailer cap on, you know, my wife and I own a couple hardware stores. Obviously, we sell batteries, and we go through a lot of batteries. But some of the batteries don't, you know, they don't sell as quickly as others, and they typically have a shelf life, which the same shelf on Brenda's battery storage kit that you bought her.
It's a very so nice romantic battery storage kit, Lou. And it's
she's a lucky lady. She's so lucky.
I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah, you are. We all know that.
Furs.
We all know that.
Okay. So so 5 years, I interrupted you there, would be what you add on.
Five years from the manufacture date if it is unused.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I don't mean to be dumb here, but I was just thinking about these things as I'm swapping out the batteries, and I obviously had a few questions. Now, you made a list for us as well of things that you think we should be working on this week. Can I ask one more question before we get to your list?
Sure.
Well, it's a thing that maybe we should be doing this week. Should we be draining or using up all of the gas in any of the power tools in our garage?
So there's two schools of thought when it comes to, you know, your lawnmower or gas-powered equipment that you're not going to use for the winter.
Right.
One is you drain it all and you drain it dry and then you let it sit dry over the winter.
I don't know. Keep going, Lou.
I don't subscribe to that one. I like using the fluid treatment, the stable fuel treatment that you would put in the tank. Pour that into the tank, fill it all the way up to the tippy top so there's very little air in the tank itself. Run it for 5 minutes and then put it away. That will keep it from gumming up all winter long, and then it should start right up in the spring. I have done that for probably the past, 30 years, and it's worked for me fine.
That's a special product you buy that you're pouring in the gas tank there?
It is a fuel stabilizer. There's a couple of different manufacturers that make it. One is called Seafoam. One is called Stabil. And that's what you put in your gas power. Now, if it's a two-cycle, which if you still have a two-cycle gas-powered unit, you really don't need it for that because two-cycle, it just runs and runs, but it's not very good for the environment.
Yeah, sure. Okay, and then I'll fill the tank, and then I just run it a little bit to get it going, and then I turn it off,
close the
cap, and I'm good to go. I had never heard of such a thing. And I can get that product at a hardware store like yours?
You can, a hardware store, home center, anything like that.
Okay. We're talking to Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. What should we be doing this week, Lou?
Well, I did send you a list, right?
And I got it right here, Lou. If I read the list, Lou, then we wouldn't need you. So I thought I would ask the question, and then you would go ahead and answer it for us on the radio.
Right. Well, you want to start with what I sent you? Because I sent it to you last week.
Hey, Lou, cleaning the coils on our refrigerators and freezers, is that a good idea?
It is, actually. And it's not something that we think about. It's not something we think about doing often enough. And especially with Thanksgiving coming, you're going to have a lot of stuff in there. Most refrigerators have coils at the bottom, so you got to take that kicker off.
Yeah.
If you've got a fancy built-in refrigerator, chances are there's a big screen up at the top. That needs to get opened up and cleaned. Use the brush on the end of a hose of a vacuum cleaner to gently clean that dust. It will unbelievably boost the efficiency of an appliance. And if you think about it, your refrigerator runs all the time. And so it uses a lot of energy. And if you make that easier for it, it'll run more efficiently, less chance of it breaking. And you may even be able to adjust the temperature a little bit. You may notice that it's even cooler now because you cleaned all those coils. And you can adjust the temperature, which means it runs even less, saving you even more money.
I like the sound of that. This one sounds above my pay grade. Replace the hoses to your washing machine. What's that all about?
It is not above your pay grade. It is as simple as putting the garden hose outside. So our washing machines have, you know, they have basically short little garden hoses that come from the wall typically to the back of the washing machine. And you will hear stories of these hoses bursting
yep.
and causing all this water damage in a home. And if those hoses on your washing machine are, say, over 5 years old, I'd go to the hardware store, I'd buy a new set, replace them, not crazy expensive. You unscrew it off of this. It's just like a spigot outside on both the your house side and the back of the washing machine as well. It's a good investment. It's a good insurance, and it doesn't cost a lot of money.
847's texted in. Hey, I just missed it. What do we put in the lawnmower before winter?
It's a fuel stabilizer. There's either one called Seafoam, or there's also one called Stable. There's other manufacturers as well, but those are the two big ones.
More questions texted in and some on the phone, too. How about you, Carol? You're on with Lou Manfredini. What can we do for you?
Hi. I have some windows that have fogged up, and I'm wondering if I have them defogged and resealed, will it make them more energy efficient?
100%. And I don't have a direct relationship with any companies that do that. It does work. I've heard from a lot of listeners. It's a lot less expensive than replacing your windows, of course. And I'm just uncertain about what kind of guarantee you're going to get. So, you know, if they're going to say, hey, we're going to do this and you're going to, the windows will be clear and they'll be more energy efficient and we give you a 2-year guarantee, then you just got to decide if that investment is worth it, because it could happen again, and then, you know, you're going to be replacing those windows.
Okay, so it's a 50-50 chance.
Well,
so to speak.
It's not a 50-50. Because I don't have a relationship with anybody, I don't know what kind of warranty they offer you. And so if they tell you that it's going to be $250 per window, well, how long is that going to last? If it breaks the seal in 5 years, well, then that was good $250. But if it does it in a year and there's no guarantee past a year, I just wonder if that's the best use of your money.
I totally understand now. Thank you very much, Lou. I appreciate your help.
You bet, Carol. I'm glad you called. Happy Thanksgiving. Trudy, I think it is on line 2. You're on WGN with Lou. What can we do for you?
Oh, yes, you can help me. I've just been suffering through a mouse invasion, and my water tank is leaking all over the place. I remember Lou saying something about having some kind of filter put on the cold water inlet to my new water tank, which is coming tomorrow. Can he please be more explicit on this, and what's the benefit?
I don't think that it was a water tank. It wasn't a water filter. It was an expansion tank. So many plumbing codes now require that a tank water heater have an expansion tank on the cold water side of your water heater. You may not have that now. And it does two things. One is that now many municipalities have check valves within the water system. And when the water heater expands as it heats up, that hot water has to go somewhere, and it backfeeds into the cold water line, which then a lot of people are saying, I turn the cold water on and I feel hot water. That expansion tank on the cold water side alleviates that problem and actually extends the life of your water heater. So speak with your plumber about if they're going to be installing an expansion tank when they install the water heater.
Sounds like a good idea. Thanks for the call. Hey, Lou, what about this question from one of our listeners? I've got a top-loading washing machine without an agitator. I'm told I can take out the bolt in the middle and clean under there to help get rid of the musty smell. I've tried everything I can to get that bolt out of there. Is it a professional job?
Wow, without seeing it, I would be worried about that. I think that smell is probably not under that, but there is where the water evacuates from a top loader, there where that hose comes out, there is what's called a barrel filter that you probably access from the back of the unit, or it could be from the front. You take the front panel off, and I bet the musty smell is in that, and you have to open that out and clean that. You go online and search barrel filter on my washing machine, you'll see what I'm talking about.
We are in the habit now of leaving the door to our washing machine open after we use it, just to, I don't know why we're doing that, Lou.
The front loader. No, it's a weird thing, but you have to do it because of that rubber gasket that is connected to the body of the machine and the actual spinning drum. And why they can't figure this thing out, I mean, we're putting people on the moon. Well, we did that a long time ago, but we think we would have figured this out.
You could have put a man on the moon. Why can't we do that? Jim is on line one. Here's our last question for Lou. Jim, what can we do for you?
Yeah, going back to the battery deal, disposing of batteries. I've taken batteries back to the big box stores where I bought them, and they look at me like I have horns coming out of my head as far as disposing of them. So what are we supposed to do with them?
So it used to be that the batteries had like a mercury and cadmium, and in the what they call single-use batteries, double A's, D's, C's, all those batteries, that has now been eliminated. And so you can just put them in the regular trash. If you do go to the EPA website, they will still say that, oh, you can recycle them, but there's really no need.
Really?
They do break down and are accepted in regular trash now with modern single-use batteries. Correct. Really.
Because all those batteries this weekend, I got a box, maybe 100 batteries, Lou, from the last few years.
Right. And I know.
Jim, I'm glad you called. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Lou, your last thought there? Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, they can go in the trash, and that's been there ever since. The battery manufacturers, I was at a meeting years ago with the Duracell people, and there were some new laws that changed, and all the manufacturers now in the U.S., when they make these batteries, those harmful metals have been eliminated in the single-use batteries. That is not the case for the higher-tech batteries, the lithium-ion, the batteries you put in your power tools. Those need to be recycled. And many hardware stores and home centers will take those and recycle them. But single use can go in the trash.
I got 15 seconds left. What's the headcount going to be at the Manfredini house this year?
It just reached 50.
Well, good luck to you, Mr. Manfredini.
A nephew and his girlfriend. Hey, can we come? We're like, sure, come on. Everybody in the pool.
Doesn't matter. You have a great holiday. You've helped us a lot today, Lou. Let's do this again next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
That's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. He does that for you on Mondays now in the 11 o'clock hour.